For the transcript purposes, this will be the CCNSL members' meeting day 2.
Okay, good morning everybody. Welcome to day 2 of the CCNSO meeting. I should probably firstly start by thanking everyone involved with organising our cocktail event yesterday evening, and particularly the wonderful sponsors AUDA, CIRA and Nominet. Whilst I have you in the room, I would also ask for feedback on that format. You remember that we have moved from the CCNSO dinner format to cocktails so that hopefully we can be able to invite more people. But your feedback on that format would be appreciated. So for our business this morning, our first area of focus is the IDN updates. And first of all, we have Bart on the... Oh, you've changed the order without telling me. So, first of all, we have Nina, welcome, on the IDN variant project update. Thank you, Nina.
Thank you, Leslie, and thank you for having us here to talk about the IDN variant program. So first of all, what I want to say is we have a longer session this afternoon at 1:30. I believe it's in Grand Hall A, where we'll talk in more detail about what happened with the variant program since the last meeting, or since you last heard about it, and then what the next steps are. But because some of you, we may not be able to join us, we wanted to give a quick update here and get some input from you. So just to give you a little bit of a background on what we've been doing here with the variant program, this is an effort that started in September 2010. As you are all well aware, the current status for both the CCTLD fast track and the new GTLD program is there's no delegation of variants. Reason being, we don't have a deterministic tool yet to determine what's a variant and what isn't. And until all the issues are understood and worked out, there's no delegation of variants. So in 2010, the board set up passed a resolution to direct staff to set up a program. Project to study more about the variant issues. This led in 2011 to the first phase of what has now morphed into the IDN variant TLD program, where we set up 6 different case studies to study variants in 6 different scripts. And the choice of the scripts was done through a public comment period. And essentially, there was we chose the Arabic, Chinese, Devanagari, Cyrillic, Latin, and Greek as the scripts to study. So that went on. That was community groups that studied the scripts and produced community reports of what were the variant issues for their script. Then a second phase of the program, we created what was called the Integrated Issues Report, where members from the community groups served as advisors to the staff who read the reports, synthesized them, found the commonalities and the individual issues that pertain to each script individually, and then we came up with what we call the Integrated Issues Report. That was towards the end of 2011, beginning 2012. And then from the Integrated Issues Report, there were a number of projects that were planned based on the Integrated Issues Report, I think up to 8 projects that were identified as areas that needed further work to work on for variants. And this is what I'm going to talk to you about. I'm going to talk to you about 3 projects coming out of the Integrated Issues Report that were decided, and that was most of our work in 2012. And it wrapped up recently here in March. So the 2 major things I want to talk about were the first one was the procedure to develop and maintain the label generation rules for the DNS root zone and respective IDNA labels. This report was recently posted in in March 2013, just last month. And along with that, the examining the user experience implications of active variant TLDs. Those are both, I gave you the link here. So essentially what happened is out of the integrated issues report, one of the first areas that was identified as areas that needed further work was... how are we going to have an authoritative, if you will, this is the IDN table for the root zone. What are the allowed code points, and what are their corresponding variants, if any? And in order to get there, what's going to be the procedure where we decide how that table would be constructed? So that's what's in the first one. What is the short name for it is the IDN root LGR procedure. The second one is when active variants are in the root, what are the user expectations? What are the user experience implications that we would need to consider coming up if when those are, variants are activated? And I encourage you to go read those reports. There's a good summary for both of the reports. There's a good summary at the beginning that talks about the reports, and this is what will be discussed in more detail this afternoon. I will go a little bit into what's in them shortly, but basically coming out of this phase three, we're now going into phase four, which is to implement some of this work that we've decided. So the procedure... Now that we have the IDN root LGR procedure, the next step is to implement this procedure. The procedure essentially calls for establishing what we call generation panels and an integration panel. The generation panels are community-based panels that are generated for each script community. They get together expertise for their community, figure out the repertoire for their script, and then they pass that on to the expert panel, the integration panel. We expect that there will be a little bit of a dialogue between the integration and the generation panel until a set is agreed, and then that repertoire is admitted into the root LGR, the label generation rules. So that's what's going to happen that's the next step, the setting up of the integration panels and the generation panels. Along with that, the user experience study that was also released in March came up with a number of recommendations to implement to improve user experience for active variant TLDs. And with those recommendations call for things for ICANN itself to do, for the registries, for the registrars. So we do need to come back to the sponsoring organizations and advisory committees and get their input and advice on how to implement some of these recommendations. And I'll talk about that a little bit later, too. And then another piece of work that still needs to happen is to finalize the LGR tool format specification. This work started in the previous phase, which is to pretty much create a specification to represent the repertoire once it's created in a machine operable way. So the numbers, we stuck with the numbers, as I said earlier, in the project numbers. So in the integrated issues report, I said we identified 8 projects. And so that's why the numbers are not sequential, what we're attacking next, because we stuck with the original numbers. So the one coming up next will be Project 2.2, which is to implement the procedure, the root LGR procedure. What that work includes is to recruit the integration panel. This is going to be an expert panel that is hired by ICANN. It needs to have expertise in DNS, in IDNA, in linguistics, in Unicode, etc. Along with this integration panel, there has to be also, according to the process, there's a pool of advisors. And these advisors also are contracted by ICANN, and they serve as advisors to the generation panels should they need them. The generation panels are the community panels. So I know there's a lot of panels here that I'm talking about. But essentially, you have community-led panels. Those are the generation panels. They're generating the repertoire for their script. They're raising their their input, the repertoire they come up with, they send it to the integration panel. Integration panel vets it, and then eventually it's the output is admitted into the repertoire for the route. And there are advisors that serve the integration panel should they need them. The generation panel should they need them. Part of this effort has to be reaching out to the communities to set up those generation panels, because as you can tell, the repertoire will depend on the community forming those generation panels and sending their input to the integration panel. So there's going to have to be a lot of work there on reaching out to the community to inform them that this effort is coming and to get their repertoires. It's going to be, just guessing how it will look like, it'll probably be a little bit similar to how the first phase of this was when we had the six case studies running with community teams working on their script. As staff, we also need to provide supplementary guidelines and materials, and we envision that there'll be a website that the panels can interact with that provides the information that we need to provide on this. A little bit here, I decided to include a couple slides to just explain what the different panels will do. So here on the generation panel I put it the slide that says, you know, it'll be volunteer-based generation. It'll be volunteer-based panelists. They'll develop a set of rules for their particular writing system. They'll create the output, feed it into the integration panel, and then the integration there will be collaboration between the two, and then eventually their output will be admitted into the root LGR. So that's the generation one, with support from staff. The integration panel will be the experts that will vet the input coming into it from the generation panels, and then eventually... eventually what they reach will become the root LGR. The process specifies that there has to be unanimous agreement within the integration panel on the root LGR. So if there's still a dissenting voice, there's not a root LGR until they all agree on it. And their approach is to focus on security and stability of the DNS. That's their main mission here. So that's what we call Project 2.2. That's to figure out the root, the IDN table for the root, if you will. For Project 7, what we need to do is to update the new GTLD applicant guidebook and the IDN CCTLD implementation plans to account for these changes. So before we do that, as I said at the beginning, there was the user experience study that came up with recommendations for ICANN, for registries, for registrars, for technical community, et cetera. So we need to engage with sponsoring organizations and advisory committees to figure out which of these recommendations can go strictly straight into implementation and which ones need further policy work. Once that's done, then we can do the changes to the applicant guidebook to account for those recommendations and the CCTLD implementation plan, of course. And then we also need to change the applicant guidebook and the CCTLD implementation plan to also account for the root LGR that's being created. So different areas feeding into the documentation that's out there now. So that's Project 7. So... just to make it a little bit easier to understand, I think for me, I look at Project 7 as really setting up the business processes of what it would look like once we say, okay, now we can look into activating variants, what it would look like, what the process would look like for the end user to activate those variants. So, for example, in the fast track, we've now gone through several requests where we receive requests for variants, and the variants are on hold somewhere until we have the process in place. So we need to figure out the business process of how we take those variants that are on hold now and activate them should the user wish to activate them at this point. And the same thing for the GTLDs. They've been asked to name their variants, but nothing is happening with them at this point. That's for the existing applications. And then for anybody new coming into the process, how do they supply their variants to the process? So that's Project 7. Once that's completed, there's Project 8. Now that we know Now that we have the root LGR and we have what changes are happening to the applicant guidebook and the CCT and the CL implementation plan, we'll need to make changes to the ICANN systems and processes to be able to actually process this. So one area I was talking to Kim about earlier, for example, is when the request eventually comes to IANA, how does IANA process the request for both the primary string and then the variants? So there's changes on the process level, and then there's changes on some of the software that we're using to process applications. There's also things like coming out of the recommendations. There were changes to the registry agreement. Then we'll need to change whatever systems and processes in place for the registry agreement to account for those changes. So that's what's happening in Project 8. Also, in this coming phase, we're continuing Project 1, which I mentioned earlier. This is the LGR tool. This is the representation of the root LGR. It's the specification that Kim is working on. He's presented on this several times before, but it's essentially focused on developing the specification to represent the IDN LGR. And its output is to give us which labels will be allocatable is what we're calling allocatable and which should be blocked. So that's going to come out of this LGR. If you have any input here, I put the VIP mailing list as a place to send your input for if you have any input on the specification that's out there. And finally, because I had a timeline at the beginning describing what we did up to this point, we have a timeline for the future for the projected phase. And I don't know how well this is coming across, but it basically shows coming out of this meeting here in April, we need to get the projects for the integration and generation panels going as soon as possible. Parallel to that, we need the Project 7, which is to figure out what changes are happening to the applicant guidebook, to the systems, to the CCTLD implementation programs, and then take that further to the changing the systems and the processes. So we anticipate this is projected. This is very much based on rough planning that we've done in the last couple months. We're anticipating this work will take us into about middle of next year, before we have a process for processing IDN variant TLDs. That's our projected timeline at this point. But it is good to note that there's a lot of parallel work that's happening at the same time, and there's some of this stuff isn't completely within our control, because until the generation panels that are happening within the community form themselves and submit their repertoire, we can't force that work, right? So it's the communities have to come together and create their generation panels and send their repertoire. So some of our work is dependent on their work. And I think that's it. That's all I wanted to put on today's presentation. And I'll take any questions or feedback if you have it, please.
Thank you, Nila. Hong? We're just getting you a mic, Hong. Maybe in that interlude, could you remind us when the session is this afternoon and where?
Yes, thank you. It is at 1:30 in Grand Hall A, which I think is second floor.
Thank you. It may be. I think maybe we'll know our way around here by the end of the week.
Thank you for the presentation. It's very informative. I remember in the process of discussion at the VIP, it was proposed to add a dispute resolution procedure before or after generation panel to make any decision on various TLD. I wonder whether this proposal is still viable or this just has disappeared in the process. That's because some language community has a shared characters, code points. So probably one community is perfectly okay, the another community is not so happy. Oh, this is another channel for people to get a remedy, even label has been generated. This is one question. Another one is that, thanks to the IDN CCTLD fast tracks. There's a couple of CCTLD and IDN characters had been delegated. They involved various issues. But unfortunately, at that time, the ICANN had no policy implementation of that. So whether after you complete your wonderful work in 2014, is this going to be applied to them retrospectively? Will they affect their contracts? Whatever connection with ICANN? The second question. The third one is the VIP only applying to the TLD or they also apply to second level? Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. Very good questions. So the first one, the dispute resolution. So the process, the root LGR process, you're right, that was discussed. So it doesn't call for a dispute resolution process. Instead, what we have when the generation panel works out its repertoire and submits it to the integration panel, there is a public comment period on that input coming from that community. So we were just discussing this yesterday. So I hope that will be at the point when the community that wasn't involved, we hope that the community is involved in the generation panel to start with. But anybody that certainly has objections to what's coming into from the generation panel, that's when it needs to happen, is during that public comment period. And I think there's a lot of work and responsibility on staff to do enough outreach and create enough information about what's going on so that communities are informed that this is being done on their behalf at this point. The second question was the fast track and the delegation of, I believe you're referring to China and Taiwan. So those were done on an exceptional basis. So it's not something where the process changed to allow the delegation and they were delegated as synchronized TLDs. They weren't even called variants. So that's an exception to the process, and because it was done as an exception doesn't mean that we need to keep doing the exception until we develop a process that's more predictable, right? I think you asked whether the work of the LGR will be applied back to them. When we discussed some of this, a lot of the stuff that is happening now has to be. There's no taking back CCTLDs once they're delegated, right? So it has to be grandfathered in. So I hope what we're coming out, I hope that we are applying enough conservative rules right now that we won't come to the process and say, oh my God, how did we do that? But in the very, very unlikely event that we say, oh my God, how did we do that, that we would have to grandfather that in. And I can't remember what the third question was about. Oh, second level. So this is interesting. One of the things coming out of the user experience recommendations actually do reach farther down into the second level. And the work at the ICANN level, of course, only applies to the top level. But this is where one of the areas that we do need input and advice from the sponsoring organizations and advisory committees on what to do with these recommendations that are talking about second level specifically, and specifically really contractual changes that would reach into the second level. So that area we do need input on it.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? No? In which case, Neela, thank you very much indeed. Much appreciated for all the work in this project.
Thank you.
Well done. Okay, so the second element of our IDN theme for first thing this morning is the IDN CCPDP. I'm sure we must be missing another acronym there somewhere. But you're going to give us an update.
Good morning. I hope this one will be one of the final updates on the status of the IDN PDP. The reason for doing it this time, we had an update in Toronto as well, is that I hope that the council will adopt the recommendations this afternoon. And if the council adopts them, then the CCNSO membership, and this is one of the few occasions where it's only the CCNSO membership will be asked to vote on the recommendations, and this is part of the policy development process. So in order to brief you on what you vote, I thought it was a good idea to provide an update what's included in the policy as such. The IDN-CCTLD policy, in fact, contains two major parts. One are the recommendations on the overall policy for the selection of IDN-CCTLD strings, and this part will replace the fast-track methodology. As you will see, the overall policy is just an adjustment of the fast-track methodology in some critical areas, and I'll go into more detail on that part. The second part of the IDN policy is on the inclusion of IDN-CCTLDs in the CCNSO. That discussion has been run in parallel, and for those of you who are interested or want to know, IDNs, because of the current ICANN bylaws, IDN-CCTLDs cannot become member of the CCNSO, which in fact is probably not a situation we want to continue for a very long time. So in these presentations, let me first go into the structure of the policy itself. So it's more or less to assist you in understanding the policy and the recommendations that you will receive in the members' report. The recommendations on the selection of IDN-CCTLD strings contains a set of different aspects. One is, the first set is, are the overarching principles. The overarching principles are not directly part of the recommendations or the policy itself, but they set the parameters around the criteria. One, for example, is that IDN-CCTLDs should be treated, IDN and CCTLDs and ASCII-CCTLDs should be treated similarly. Another one is that the stability and security of the DNS needs to be ensured. So that's the overarching principles. The second part of the policy recommendation contains the criteria for the selection. Most of you will be familiar with the criteria. It's around the meaningfulness of the string. It needs to be in a designated language. So designated replaces the term official language because that was creating some confusion. It can only be one IDN string per selected language, etc. These are the criteria. You will see them in the report itself. The third part is, and that's an enhancement over, I would say, the methodology, the IDN fast track methodology as proposed by the IDNC working group. It is a more detailed description of the procedures and documentation as part of the policy to avoid that in the implementation plan. This needs to be developed, and so it's more clearer to the users and especially to the potential IDN-CCTLD requesters what they can expect based on the policy. And finally, as part of the recommendations, there are some miscellaneous recommendations, and I will go into more detail on some of them as well. The second part on the idea of the IDN PDP is on the inclusion of IDN-CCTLDs. Again, the structure is there are some overarching principles, then the recommendations themselves, and then included are proposed changes to the ICANN bylaws. As you may recall, the CCNSO bylaws, Article 9, can only be changed as a result of a PDP. Therefore, in the PDP itself, or in the final report, there are proposed changes to the ICANN bylaws, Article 9 and Annex B, which is on the PDP itself. Finally, what you will see in the final report and the members' report are some notes and comments. These are there to provide some color and depth to the recommendations itself, but they are not part of the policy itself. So it's just to clarify the implementers of the policy and the audience on what is meant by the recommendations. As I said, part of the overall policy is the inclusion of IDN CCTLDs in the CCNSO. Now, one of the major, and I would say the real overarching principle, which is also part of the policy for the selection of IDN strings, is IDN CCTLDs and ASCII CCTLDs should be treated similar. So this has been one of the driving forces of the working group too, to look into the current bylaws and the aspects of the bylaws that needs to be in the section of the bylaws that need to be changed. If you look at the recommendations itself, it is the major changes are a proposed adjustment of the membership definition, because that is the current threshold for IDN CCTLDs to become members. A major change will be one vote per territory in case there is one or more IDN CCTLD in territory, and this is to treat the IDN CCTLDs and ASCII CCTLDs in the territory in a similar fashion, but on the other hand to keep the parity between... I haven't touched anything. And on the other hand, to keep the parity between the different territories, so therefore, in principle, between the CCTLDs and IDN CCTLDs, the same. So in case an IDN CCTLD has been delegated to a country, you have two or three IDN CCTLD operators in one territory, and in another country or territory there are no IDN CCTLDs, for voting purposes the two territories will have the same voting rights in the CCNSO. And this was one of the more difficult points, but this was the result of the work of Working Group 2. With regard to the voting, it is, if you look at Article 9, it's only relevant for council elections and for voting on PDPs. Board selection by the CCNSO membership, so that is a voluntary arrangement that needs to be adjusted and will be adjusted, but it's not part of, say, the ICANN bylaws, therefore it's not part of this PDP. Is third change is, and this has to do with, again, the parity between the different territories, is the initiation of the PDP, of a PDP. Currently, 10 members of the CCNSO can request to launch a PDP. This will be changed, so 10 members of the CCNSO, but they have to be from different territories. Again, in order to avoid that, in case like India, where they have over 10 IDN CCTLDs and another, that one territory would be able to launch a PDP. And finally, there are no more changes. The working group and after public consultation saw no need to adjust, for example, Annex C, which is on the scope of the of PDPs. This goes back again to this overarching principle that IDN CCTLDs and ASCII CCTLDs should be treated similar. The second part on the policy of the selection of IDN CCTLD strings, again, one of, I think, major clarifications in the overall policy is that the current policy for delegation and redelegation applies both through ASCII and IDN CCTLDs. As a result, the work of the FOI working group is relevant not just for CCTLDs, but also for IDN CCTLDs. And the future IDN or the future PDP on the retirement of CCTLDs will also be relevant for the retirement of IDN CCTLDs. So now you can see how this, and this is a major, a major clarification in respect to the fast track methodology. We've heard some concerns that people thought once we have the string selected, that also automatically means it will be delegated. No, it doesn't. This is only on the selection of the IDN CCTLD string. So that's one thing to keep in mind. As I said in the introduction, the overall policy on the selection of IDN CCTLD strings builds on and takes into account the experiences with the fast track methodology. And so you have to keep in mind the fast track methodology is not a policy, it is a methodology. So, and it was initiated for several purposes. First of all, and I think that's been said during the whole week, is in order to meet the demands of some countries and territories. A second reason for doing it is to experiment and to test the proposed methodology. And I think that is, in the broader discussion on how dealing with policies, etc., is again a very has proven to be a very good method. I'll get back to that a little bit later. Major substantive changes based on the experiences we gained over time with the fast track are that a string, an IDN CCTLD string, has to contain at least one non-ASCII character. This is, in fact, to decipher this, it means that Latin script is now also feasible under the overall policy. So that's broadening the scope for IDN CCTLDs. A good example would mean, for instance, España in would be able under the IDN overall policy. Secondly, and I'll go in more detail on this aspect later on, confusing similarity issues have been addressed in this policy. And based on, and now you understand hopefully why we have included this, there is a placeholder on the IDN variant management policies. At the time when the working group was dealing with this policy aspects of IDN variants, etc., were unclear, and only after, say, the IDN variant project has been concluded, probably we have some more insight on what are the policy aspects to it. And at that stage, we could update the IDN policy itself. And as I said, update and clarification of some of the processes. What is interesting, again, based on the experience over the last years, as you may recall, I said there are some miscellaneous recommendations in the overall policy. One of them, and because we know it's still reasonably restrictive, this policy, there is the recommendation to review the policy itself in 5 years' time, in order to allow and to check again whether the current limitations should be lifted, should remain in place. So that's one reason. Another reason is, again, to test whether the proposed policy meet the needs of and does work the way it was envisioned. Secondly, again, a novelty in policy development world is the creation of advisory group as soon as the policy is in place. This will be a cross-community advisory group, and it is created to assist I can start with the implementation of the policy itself, and once it becomes operational, to assist the board with the interpretation of the policy in case needed. And I think this is one of the lessons we learned through the work of the DRD working group and in the FOY working group, that such an advisory panel or advisory group might be helpful to avoid unclear decisions and increase the predictability of the policy itself. And finally, and again this is a novelty as well, is that the CCNSO will be asked to monitor and adopt the implementation plan in order to avoid unclarity about what is policy, what is implementation, who has to do what. So it's a method to ensure the communication and coordination between the CCNSO community and the CCTLD community at large, and I can for the implementation. Again, this is a lesson we learned through the implementation of the IDN Fast Track. As said, I would go in a bit more into detail on the confusing similarity. The reason for this is, as you may recall, at the San Francisco meeting, I think that was in March 2011, the CCNSO Council requested the IDN Working Group 1 to look into details to resolve some issues that have arisen with the fast track process on confusing similarity. There were some requesters who had some issues and found some issues with the way it confusingly similarity review is currently implemented in the implementation and the fast track implementation plan. Now, to understand it in itself, it is not a technical issue, confusing similarity, but it's a threat to the stability and security of the DNS. And again, one of the other background issues is it is confusing similarity. It is a balancing act between the interest of security, stability of the DNS, political interests in IDN CCTLD string, and accountability and transparency regarding the way the process is followed, and the review of by the panels. In the background also there is a very strong interest of the GAC and some GAC members in adjusting the method under the fast track process. The reference, we include the reference to the GAC Prague communique. There is also a strong interest from the technical community to ensure the stability and security of the DNS. And finally, it has to be, whatever is the outcome of the confusingly similarity adjustment, it has to be implementable and a manageable process. So what is proposed regarding the confusing similarity? What are the recommendations? First of all, there is an adjusted rule or standard for confusing similarity. Currently, it's a very broad brush rule, and it's now a little bit more restrictive in the sense of in order to allow the review panel to get more precise guidelines. The method and criteria for the reviewers in order to interpret and work with the rule itself will be developed as part of the implementation plan. And as you recall, the implementation plan will be communicated with the CCNSO. And because it's part of the implementation plan, it will be published before the review panels will become active, the new ones. A really major change is that the confusing similarity review will now be a two-stage review. It was a one-stage review, so there was just one panel. There will be now a first and second panel. The roles and responsibilities of each of these panels will still need to be specified, and that's part of the implementation, so the method and criteria. And that's, again, an improvement. There needs to be explicit communications on the findings of the panel itself. To date, if you look at the implementation plan, it could be, and in some cases it is, just a simple yes or no, and the names of the panelists is unknown, and there is no need to provide a rationale for the decision. And finally, and it's probably of interest to some of the CCNSO members, there is a transitional arrangement for current applications under the fast-track process. What it means, in other words, is those CCTLDs or those requesters who did not pass the first review panel will now be able to use the second review in order to get a final and definite verdict, I would almost say, on their request. That's in highlights the changes and what is contained in the recommendations. Next steps. Currently we are at the stage that the final report has been submitted to the CCNSO Council for adoption. And this afternoon, the CCNSO Council will take a vote and discuss on the final report. So that's the. As a result, in case in the event the final report is adopted, the Working Group 1 and Working Group 2 will be closed. A second point, and that will be on the Council agenda this afternoon as well, is a request to the Board to implement a confusing similarity review the two panels in the fast-track implementation plan. As I said in the, at the beginning of this presentation, the fast-track was designed not only to meet the immediate needs of some countries, but it's also there to experiment with a new approach and to experiment with something like IDN CCTLDs. So this is done for these two reasons, especially to experiment with this approach of the two reviews panels and the potential methodology for the two panels. What has been done as well, the GAC has formally been asked for advice or opinion on the policy itself. This is a requirement under the CCPDP rules. And in the event the Council adopts the recommendations, and that's why the presentation, the CCNSO members will be asked to vote. In preparation of that voting, two things: you will receive a member's report that contains the recommendations or the vote of the Council, and the second part will be the final report itself with the full policy. After the CCNSO members' vote has been completed, and we hope it will be possible to do it in one round, then the recommendations go to the Board and hopefully by the Durban meeting. That's the end of the presentation.
Thank you very much, Bart. And you have today's record for 5 acronyms in one sentence. Well done. I mean, I know this is the culmination of a great deal of work from people, so it's great to get to this point. I had Giovanni.
Thanks a lot, Bart. I would like, first of all, to thank Bart because he has been quite crucial in making possible something that was almost mission impossible about 2 years ago, and this is to introduce not only more transparency and accountability in a process that started as a sort of pilot project within ICON and had many fuzzy areas. Now it's become a very accountable and transparent process if everything that you have presented is going to be voted and is going to be introduced in the process. That's really a major progress in this major tool for communities to express themselves in their own language on the internet at the top level. And my second point, I would like to underscore the importance of having introduced this scientific assessment of the requested strings, something that the process was in a certain sense missing at first. And having introduced this review by a panel of linguists is something that I'm sure that in the long term will make the real difference. So thanks again, Bart, for the work that you have done.
Excellent. Anyone else? Anyone else on the proposals particularly, because we are going to need to vote? That sounds like overwhelming agreement, one hopes.
I hope it does mean that we end this process. It's been 6 years.
We'll need to find something else for you to do. Well done. No, it's been major. It's been major. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Bart. Thank you very much, Nina. Let's move on to our next item, for which we only seem to have one board member just at the moment. Chris, welcome back. But it's not quite 10 o'clock. Maybe it's just last minute. Okay, so for the next item on our agenda, that's the CCNSO discussion with the CCNSO appointed board members or board member at the moment. For new people, this is the part of our meeting where the board members that we have appointed to the board come and talk to us about the board work or specifically get CCNSO input into issues. And it's probably important to say that they're not there to represent us, so they will have their legal responsibilities and duties as board members. But obviously it's absolutely key for us that we have board members who understand the CCNSO world on the ICAM board. So welcome, Chris. And Chris used to be the chair of the CCNSO, so I know he understands CC stuff. And you're also CEO of ADO, so welcome.
Thanks, Leslie. Morning, everyone. So first of all, apologies that so far Mike's not here, but the fact of the matter is he either will be or he won't. And there's not much I can do about that. So, look, I really want to hear from you. I'm happy to answer any questions at all about anything. If I can't, to do with ICANN, obviously. If I can, as opposed to the meaning of life or whatever. If I can't answer it for whatever reason, then I will tell you that. But I just as sort of by way of introduction, since I've been on the board. It's been pretty much GTLD, 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 and I know that some of that stuff matters to the C's as well. But it looks like it's kind of coming to a close in the not too distant future, which will then mean that presumably we'll all have lots of spare time. Or alternatively, there'll be a whole heap of other things to do, which I suspect is the most likely thing. Just to paint a very broad picture. The board, this board, actually works really quite well. I don't. Some of you run organisations. I do with large boards, and if you do that, you'll know that large boards can be quite hard to run. And if you have board members that are coming from lots of different places, so for in our world, the registrar community, the registrant community, and so on and so forth, they tend to have opposing views often, or they'll come with an agenda. And the ICANN board is not that different in the sense that there are people with different views. Some people come with a complete with a view of complete. We should tell everybody everything, and I don't understand this corporate thing that says we have to keep some things secret. And there are others who come from a completely clear understanding of what being on a board corporately means. And actually, that tension works really quite well. It's tension that holds buildings together, and the tension on the board is what actually holds the board together and makes it coalesce around issues. There's a lot of work in the sense that there are information phone calls and board phone calls and individual conversations and emails flying backwards and forwards, and then of course at the ICANN meetings, there's a fair amount of going to have sessions like we did with you yesterday, having closed board meetings and so on. I have to say that, I will say that the coming of the new season, the coming of the new CEO, has made a significant difference to the way that the organisation operates. I think the staff are basically a lot happier, a lot more content. And I think that the board is feeling a really close connection and cooperative environment between the staff that we get to deal with, which is mostly the senior staff and the CEO and the board. We're pretty impressed with the people that have been, the additional people that have been brought on. Everyone has their own foibles, their own ways of doing things, but we're pretty impressed. And I'd like to, hear from you, I suppose.
Okay, so before we open up to questions, maybe something overarching in terms of the board priorities or the board work plan, mm-hmm. assuming you have a work plan. What's short-term, what's medium-term, what's long-term, and what is the long-term perspective? Is long-term 2 years, 3 years, 6 months? It'd be helpful for people to understand.
So the short term is to figure out what the long term is. the current focus, apart from the GTLD stuff, the current focus is strategic plan, and it's a 5-year strategic plan, and we actually don't care whether we can laminate it or not at the end of the day. So that process kicks off in May with the board workshop. We'll have 2 days on strategic planning, and then the community process kicks off at the beginning of June, and we think it's roughly a 9-month exercise. We're not 100% sure, but I think Fatty put a timeline up at the opening thing. So that is the key thing. Everything else that's going on sits underneath that. Completely. However, there are some things going on underneath that are equally relevant. We're streamlining our board tools, and in fact the community tools as well, because it's important that we use the tools properly. But in the board goals, if you like, and there's nothing specific, as in a task to be done, that sits outside of the budget, the strat plan, etc. It's much more about the strategic plan and improving the efficiency of the board and the way that the board works to make them more effective and more efficient. And we're doing that all the time, but there's no. It's something that we're really conscious of the whole time. But I'm not sure if you're asking me, are there any really specific things on the agenda? Because if you are, the answer is I can't, off the top of my head, I can't actually, you know, with the other than the normal stuff, but maybe you don't think it's normal, the budget, the strat plans.
Well, ideally it wouldn't be normal. I guess we're just looking for reassurance that there's more on the list other than GTRDs, because from a CCNSO perspective, it feels as though they have taken a lot of time, headspace, board attention, GAC attention, etc., and that the other things that one would expect to be on the list are receiving lower attention.
I agree, and yes, there is only so much bandwidth, and yes, the new GTLD stuff has taken up an extraordinary amount of time. And yes, there are other items. We're looking at, the board is invested in the CCNSO budget talks. Let's be clear, the CCs are leading the whole of ICANN in respect to this, because, you know, the GTLDs are not sitting around talking about the budget; they're sitting around talking about the new GTLDs. The ATRT stuff is on our agenda because that, of course, is incredibly relevant. And who's on the ATRT? Demi and Liz? Yeah. So that's really important, and the board is observed. The WHOIS stuff is actually quite, the Next Generation Registry Services stuff is actually quite important, and there's quite an interesting spin on that into the CCs at some time in the future. Which is, you know, let's assume that the experts working group does come up with some cunning new way of dealing with this stuff, and that goes into the GNSO and becomes a PDP and ends up being a case, then I think the Cs are going to need to look at that and say, well, that's interesting. Should we maybe look at, you know, how we're going to deal with that? And there is no specific representation on the experts working group other than me, I guess, from the CC world. But then there's not really any representation from registries either. It's, you know, there's registrars and trademarks and so on. I think that's probably... Oh, look, the honest answer, Leslie, is we're just coming out of the GTLD fog.
Yeah, and that's why I'm asking.
And there's a clearing up ahead, and I guarantee you that space will be filled.
Absolutely. That's why we're asking. Okay, so don't worry, I have a cunning list of things that we can share. And we also have a list of areas that we'd like to talk about. So you touched on finance, and thank you for the comments around the CCNSO work in this area. Uh-huh. So you will be aware of the CCTRD contributions discussion and the progress that has been made recently. Does that have board support? Is a question that has been asked in this community.
Yes, but it came about in a rather odd way. In the sense that the Fadi's statements about you know, the sort of change of stance, if you will, or posture of ICANN in respect to CCTLD finances. Was made in his blog, and the board, it wasn't made as a statement to the board. So the board needed to understand what that meant and so on. So the board does understand what that means now, and yes, there is support. I can't say that individual members of the board might not feel, you know, whatever, but I can certainly say that there's support for the posture and there's support for the progress and there's support for stopping walking into CCTLD meetings and asking each of you how much you actually pay ICANN. So that's not going to happen anymore, I hope, ever. But I think it's basically huge progress. The board's, you know, very happy and shouldn't be an issue.
Excellent. Okay, welcome,
if
Mike.
If I can jump in there, apologies for being late. Hello, Chris. I don't think it's been fully socialized across the board in terms of this transition from payment for services to an exchange of value. And I think that'll take a little while to seep down, possibly amongst the finance committee. The understanding is a bit stronger. But the feeling amongst the board is no longer there's a problem over here and the CCs aren't pulling their weight. And I think that's the feeling that has been expressed to us for years and the feeling that we've taken with a fair degree of objection. That tension is out of the room. And maybe I was being a bit flippant by saying there was lots of love in the area yesterday, but with the tension out, I think we can talk far more openly and concretely about how the exchange of value translates and socialize that through the organization.
Okay, that's helpful. And we'll look to both of you really to bring the history of this discussion into that border, because you've been very involved. Roloff.
Maybe just to make it a bit more concrete, is the support from the board also on the underlying aspects, and that is the conclusion that CCs bring value in many other ways than just dollars, and that it is better to collaborate and cooperate than to fight about money?
I don't think that, apart from the Finance Committee, I don't think that many members of the board have reached that depth yet. Not because they don't agree, it's simply because they haven't thought about it. All they've been told is that we're changing our posture, we're moving away, we're looking at the value exchange model, and that the cooperation between the staff and the CCs is at an all-time high and everything is wonderful. If you're asking me very specifically if individual board members have thought through that at a global sharing, at a global cost level, as Byron puts it, it's a wash through. Probably they haven't, but I don't think it's going to be a problem.
Mike, do you want to add to that?
I'll ask my next question later.
Mm. Okay, carry on.
Okay, because I would think that we have to make sure that the rest of the board, as Chris called it, gets through that process. Because otherwise we might end up with the same discussion in a couple of years. I don't think it is a very stable situation whereby the CEO and a few board members, and especially if those few board members have a large part of the board members that are appointed from the CCTLD community, that there's only a small part of the board that is really in support of this change in attitude.
Rolof, I would see it slightly differently, and that is, at the moment, this is still a work in progress. You're only now being provided some of the numbers. I think one of the important elements of the value exchange is that the CCs attend to their own direct costs, and finally we're getting some understanding of what those direct costs are. But the rest is, as Byron calls it, a wash, given that there is so much value exchange across the multiple other platforms. And so, as Chris was saying, I think board members understand there's a change in attitude. They haven't yet been presented with the full detail and say, we're drawing a line under this, this is now complete. I don't know if you feel the work is now complete and we can draw a line under it and move on, or if there's still a couple of steps to go. That's my impression. And that's why it's very difficult with this board to keep them engaged by giving them minute-by-minute updates.
It's not the best way to do it.
So when the process is done, we draw a line, we take it to the board, we work with our colleagues and say, this is done and this is the basis on which it's done. It will then be ratified, and possibly there needs to be, again, some sort of exchange of letters, some sort of documentation, just as you say, so that this doesn't get raised again in a couple of years' time when somebody from the GNSI says, why do we pay more than the CCs?
Okay, I guess we were hoping, and obviously there's some work to do here, that an understanding of value exchange and what CCs bring to the table is what prevents it keep coming up purely as a monetary discussion. I had Byron all the way at the back, and I also had Youngham. Is it related or different subject? Okay.
Hi, I just want to clarify a little bit from my perspective. Is the word that I've used is I'm cautiously optimistic we're on the right track. We are not done. There's still a bunch of work to do. But I also take your point that drip feeding it is not the way to get the board to to pay attention and process it. So I think that's why we tried to deliver a message that we'd made good progress, we were well down a path, cautiously optimistic, bunch of work to be done, and look to Buenos Aires, hopefully, to resolve it once and for all. So just want to make that as clear as we can at this point.
And Warren, what I would encourage is a very short, and we need to think what the most appropriate way of doing it is, but a very short, crisp way, you know, one page if possible, of documenting this. Because if we can document it, that's an even better way than making sure you have institutional memory, but you can actually point to a document. Now, given that there's no contractual relationship with the CCNSO as an organization, I'm not sure where the best place to document that is, and we may need to think about it. But ultimately, if there's a statement of principles, you can carry on hauling that out for the next 10 years in the same way as the previous 10 years have seen this ongoing argument about cost and cost recovery.
Mike, we had a good discussion yesterday. As you say, now we have some figures around banding and so on, and how that might work. And one of the things we were talking about then was about a narrative that explains why one size doesn't fit all, and so on. So I can imagine that we could produce a one-pager that summarises this is where we have arrived, this is how we got here, and this is how it will be applied. But we don't see as yet the need for additional contracts or letters and so on. But I think a CCNSO statement that hopefully can lay that foundation and assist with this discussion, not rerunning again like some soap saga, would be very constructive. Chris, you wanted to make a point, then we'll go to Youngham.
Thanks. Just to try and tie it up in a little knot. The board is aware of the work that the working group is doing, has been for some time. The board is aware that the CEO has said there's a change in posture. Has the board been asked whether they agree with that change in posture? No, not specifically, but frankly, if they didn't, they would have said so. Should they be asked? No, because then it'll end up in a huge long discussion and it's irrelevant. Does the board understand the value exchange? They know that's what you're talking about. Have they been asked if they're okay with that? No. Should they be asked? No. Get on with it and it'll all be fine. And I know that doesn't make any sense, but at the end of the day, but basically the way it's being run right now is the best way for it to be run. And it should all be okay.
We're going to write that down. Excellent. Youngham.
Hi. Thanks, Lizzie. Youngham Lee, Dakar. I would like to ask a question that kind of touches upon this, but that's a lot broader with regard to WICCET and ITU-related meetings. We discussed with the board what the board would like the CCs to assist them in terms of the ITU-related activities. But it was also noted yesterday by Annabeth that in terms of finance was that the sudden change in ICANN's attitude towards the CC finances has presumably something to do with the activities at ITU and other meetings, I'm just wondering what the atmosphere on the board is with regard to all these ITU related activities. Do you think that observation is valid? And in addition to that, not just the CC finances, but in terms of how the board engages with the GAC, probably has a lot to do with those meetings as well. And we see Fadi, going all around the world trying to talk to a lot of people, and especially the governments, about the things that ICANN is doing and is trying to inform and promote the activities of the ICANN and other related institutions. And I'm just wondering how seriously is the board thinking about the activities going on at ITU? And so one part of my question is, has the change, I mean, do you notice this change in board's position or attitude towards CCs or the GAC? And number two is, what, I mean, do you think is the board's general feeling towards the possible outcomes of these ITU-related meetings?
Okay, Yangam, so there's two questions in there, I think. Chris, do you want to have a go?
There is, I can't speak for what's in Fadi's mind, but I can tell you that in the board's mind, there is almost no connection whatsoever between the CCTLD finance position and the WICCET and the WPTF. I don't think, I hadn't even made that connection. It never even occurred to me. So I can't speak for any other members of the board, but it never even occurred to me. I took it as being an almost instantaneous understanding by the new CEO that once he understood that CCTLDs were sovereign, that we were effectively in partnership with ICANN, and that therefore we needed to be treated as partners. And I think that understanding came far before any kind of concerns about WICCET and what have you got into his head. So that's that one. Mike, would you agree with that?
Pretty much, but I also think that it ties in very nicely with some of the work that's being done around the Africa strategy, around the Latin America strategy, recognising that on the ground, away from the big money areas of domainers and the rest, the people with boots on the ground are the CCTLDs. And I think he realized that these are important partners now. Is it possible that that was consolidated during in Dubai and elsewhere? It's very possible, but certainly I think he's seen it, whether it's, you know, being hosted in Prague or being hosted here or being hosted in Toronto, and recognizing the people who put in the effort to, or a lot of the effort, let's be honest, ICANN staff do a fortune of work, but a lot of the effort around these meetings, a lot of the outreach, a lot of the ability to engage with the rest of the world is facilitated by the CCs, sometimes quite actively and sometimes just by creating the platform and stepping aside and letting people do their things. You know, we don't necessarily get upset when the CEO comes to our country and starts chatting to politicians, but oftentimes if you want the meeting, we're the people who can facilitate it for you. Sometimes they can go direct. It depends on the relationship. One thing I would encourage, and just something that we did as .za, and you may want to think about given this new approach of engagement officers, is write a letter to the CEO offering to host a small engagement office in your offices. I'm assuming most of you, like us, have an office where you can always find a space to squeeze another desk and a person with an Ethernet cord and a telephone would be most welcome, especially if they're going to be traveling at least 50% of the time and only in the office the other 50% of the time, and they're welcome to free coffee and a parking spot or whatever the case may be. Drop a letter. I think the CEO would be blown away by having 50 or 100 letters saying, you're welcome to send your staff, you're welcome to talk to us about setting up an engagement office in our country. We'd be happy to host you. I think it's the type of thing that he's expecting, and he's already received some positive input, but a more positive input would be, I think, the type of response that'll really bring this home and keep reminding him. In terms of your second question, what's the likely output and what's the likely outcome? My personal view is that we're going to continue to see this polarized position of an increasingly irrelevant ITU in the face of both the growth of the internet as well as a telecommunications industry that is not willing to play by a single set of universal rules, but rather willing to work within a single set of technical standards and their own rules. I think the mobile operators broke the ITU. I don't think the internet broke the ITU. I think the mobile operators did that, and the growth of the internet is simply working and continuing that process. The mobile operators are now big enough that they're actually looking to the ITU in some respects as a good place to delay and tie things up. But I think we're going to continue to see this stage of increasing irrelevance and a lot of posturing because people are feeling irrelevant, so therefore they're going to want to try and exert themselves. Some people who don't realize how irrelevant the ITU is, posturing even harder and trying to use the ITU to drive actual enforceable decisions through, and the rest of us trying our best to mitigate that, because the last thing we want is an actual fight about it.
Thank you, Mike. I mean, that's of course why we're asking about the strategy for Wicket and beyond. Is one of our other favourite questions. Chris, did you want to come back on the second bit?
Only to say, Leslie, that it has not escaped our attention that you have asked about the strategy three meetings in a row. It has not escaped our attention that you currently don't have a strategy, or rather, you haven't seen a strategy. It has not escaped our attention that there needs to be a strategy, and it has not escaped our attention that you will ask again in Durban if you haven't seen it. I will do my utmost to ensure that you don't have to. But it's not for the board to draft it, of course. So we.
Sorry to be so predictable.
Not at all. No. I'm massively in favour of that.
It's in fact incredibly welcome, because we're starting to sound a bit like a stuck record, and when we get some support supportive voices.
And you know, CCs have talked about Wicket and beyond on a number of occasions, and it's a shared concern, which is why we're being such a pain on it. And a strategy, of course, is not a list of meetings and people, which is another concern. Anyway, let's move just
Leslie,
back.
Sorry, if I can just touch on that and touch on also action items and takeaways for this grouping. I think one of the issues is that when Fadi meets with some of the other ISTAR organisations, and the ability to coordinate with a small handful of organisations is far greater. We now have the staff, we have the team to attend to a greater deal of global engagement with a far greater degree of predictability and hopefully success. Part of the issue that I'm hearing from this grouping, and maybe we need to actually remind Fadi why you're asking, is because it's great to have a couple of round tables with a few CCs, and I saw some of the comments on the list. But ultimately, those face-to-face meetings are very useful and very effective in terms of gauging the temperature, in terms of having frank exchange, which you don't necessarily want to do in a large room. But ultimately, if you're going to take the lead and you want other people to give you input to say you're going in the wrong direction or we agree with you, or to say we understand where you're going, we're going to work our strategy aligned to yours, either following it or parallel or completely perpendicular, because that's our country and our cultural approach, then you need to know what the strategy is. There's no point trying to coordinate over 100 CCs in face-to-face meetings. You need to have something in writing that people can look at and say, we will buy into it and support it, or we're not going to take this approach, but we understand why, and this is why we're going to be working in parallel, perpendicular, whatever else it may be. That's essential, and you need a document, and you need it to be clear, crisp, and precise, and I think we've got that.
Thank you, Mike. So seeing as you mentioned it, funnily enough, round tables was the next item on the list. So there have been some round tables, and there have been mixed messages around those roundtables in terms of course, people understand the desire, particularly in a new incoming CEO, to have smaller, maybe private sessions and so forth. There was a concern, however, that, for example, in several of the sessions, the idea of a registrant's charter was proposed. and a concern that, well, firstly, of course, we may all have our own registrant charters, and therefore signing up to an ICANN charter just may not work. But in some way that was perceived to be bypassing the multi-stakeholder model. And I think as we identified in the session with the board, there is the multi-stakeholder model. We do have PDPs. If there was community support for a registrant charter PDP, for example, then we could do a fast track or son of fast track. Maybe we'd like to ask about board discussion on registrant charters and particularly across the whole GTRD, CCTRD space.
Okay, so this has really got nothing whatsoever to do with the board. The board hasn't been involved in any of these discussions other than Fadi proudly telling us that there was this registrant charter. So this is all staff. So let me try and address the issues. I think, and you know, those of you that were there, if you think I'm misrepresenting, then please, I've no doubt you'll say. The series of roundtables were put together by Fadi specifically to try and bring the CEOs of the registries and the registrars together. Because, this is just my personal opinion, because I think he figured that often the CEOs don't actually know what their staff might be doing at ICANN. You know, there might be an ICANN representative of a registry, GTLD registry, that's been coming to ICANN for the last 10 years and has very set views and takes a view on something, but if you sit the CEO down and say, you know, this is a commercial negotiation and we want you to do X, you might get a different response. I don't think that was the original intention.
That's a GTRD.
CEO. GTLDs, yes, GTLDs. So I don't think it had anything to do with CCTLDs at all. And then I think what happened was that some people said, well, hang on a minute, you've got to, if you're going to do this, you can't ignore the CCTLD world because we also have CEOs. And I think, and then I think what happened is that the communications people thought, wouldn't it be fantastic if we could do this thing in New York and on the 23rd of April and sign some contracts with the registries and registrars, and wouldn't it be brilliant if the CCTLD community or some of the CCTLD community backed up what we were doing? So I think they took the advantage of having decided to have a roundtable because they thought they should, then took the advantage of having the roundtable to see if they could weave in some CCTLD buy-in to try and increase the media, and very quickly realised that that wasn't going to work. And so for those of you who think that this might be undermining the model, let me tell you that I don't think that was the intention at all. But I think it's now very clearly understood that to do that would have been undermining it. So I think that's my kind of summation of where we're at with it. I would say one other thing personally, which is I do understand the tendency to always look for what's going on in the background. Sometimes nothing is going on in the background. Sometimes things are exactly what they seem to be, and they are not anything else.
And if I can just add to that, Chris, I had a discussion with Fadi, having seen some of the discussion on the lists, having seen a general recognition that having these sorts of meetings is a good idea, but, you know, just a question around process and a question around equity. I raised it with Fadi in a call, unfortunately, rather than having had the chance face-to-face. He's acknowledged that some people are feeling excluded, and his view is, well, then everybody's welcome. At the same time, I think we recognize that a round table needs to be a few people around a table. It's very difficult to have a round table around this audience. It's one of the reasons, not just because of the size of the room, and we're not the GAC that insist on being able to sit around a huge rectangular table, but it's part of the reason why this room is set up in the way it is. And so I think it's something that we need to, as Chris and I and this community needs to have further engagement with Fadi. And I think what most, maybe I'm taking the wrong temperature. I think the impression I'm getting is, by all means, have a round table with a couple of CCs as representative of this community. But please let us know that it's happening. Please invite us to attend if we want. You know, we understand we're not going to be invited and necessarily supported in our travels, but if we feel it's important enough, we'll get on a plane or a bus or a train, whatever, wherever the place may be, and come along. Give us some seats in the audience and give us 20 minutes of Q&A so that we can give some input if we feel that our colleagues are misrepresenting who we are and what we are. Give us some opportunity to engage, but we understand the main event is going to happen around the table. But if we'd like to be there, don't lock us out of the room. That's the impression I'm getting. If I'm getting it wrong, let me know. And that's a message that I think between Chris and I, we're going to keep hammering back at Fadi to say, this is a great idea, but just make sure that it's not exclusionary.
I think that seems about the right temperature, Mike. Okay. Anyone else? Any comments or questions? Or observations? Roloff.
Come on, Roloff, you know you want to.
Yeah, I'm just a bit hesitant because you're so awake and ready this morning. Is there anything you can tell us about how ICANN board is doing on the ethics policy? It's been quite a bit.
It's done. The third report basically said, and I'm seriously paraphrasing here, but the third report basically said you already got more ethics and conflict rules in place than any other organisation on the planet, type of thing, and you're fine, and you're up to best practice. So then we've now put the necessary bits and pieces in place, and as far as I'm concerned, it's over now. I mean, if you know what I mean, it's in place. It's constantly being reviewed, but it's dealt with, and there are rules. There's a recognition that some of those rules are basically not enforceable because of different laws in different countries. But nonetheless, you know, it's all there, and it's all published on the website. And I think, Mike, have you got...
The only slight change that's going to be taking place at this meeting is one of the recommendations from the last review was the creation of a standing panel.
That's right.
And there are going to be a couple of minor bylaws changes to actually lead to the creation of the standing panel, and what happens in the interim while the standing panel is being set up, and what if the standing panel doesn't have the expertise to deal with this particular complaint that's being raised. But that's minor tweaking. On the whole, as Chris says, it's pretty much done. Now the question is kicking back sites and making sure that people are kept to it, but on the whole, it's done.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, I have Mathieu and then Sabine.
And you would have noticed that Chris and I haven't been soliciting bribes from any of you this meeting, so we're taking it very seriously.
Unlike previous meetings.
Congratulations for being now ethical.
It's our pleasure. We're here to serve.
My question was a follow-up on the roundtables. During the roundtables, there were a lot of talks about reputation studies. And apparently there was a GTLD reputation study and a CCTLD reputation study. And one logical step forward in advance of the ICANN strategic plan would be an ICANN reputation study to complement this. And there were talks about whether this existed or not. And I would like to ask whether such a study has been brought to the attention of the board, and if so, if there are any information that you could share about this.
So... no, but just to clarify a couple of things, I think it would be unfair to characterise the CC as a CCTLD reputational study. It was a very, very, very quick run. I mean, the GTLD one they did was a fairly lengthy process to come up with a reputational survey, and it looked at you know how the world thinks of GTLDs. the CCTLD one, and did we not agree that this would be published? I thought we did.
We're waiting.
We're waiting, okay.
It seemed to be a fairly well-informed research project, she says, having seen it. I think Mathieu's question was around, is there an ICANN one that maybe
absolutely.
Will act as a benchmark?
And the answer is that I'm not aware of one, but you are quite right. There should be one. And we will take that back now and see if we can deal with it. The reason I was just talking about the CC one not being as reliable or as in depth as the G one is that the way that they did it was to look at media, and a huge amount of what they looked at was Chinese media, because there had been such a large amount of media in China. And I think they acknowledged that they had skewed the results in some respects, but they all think we're fantastic. So that's the most important thing.
Okay.
But still, I think point well taken. And I suppose the comment is, like most of you in this room, not having been there, exactly. It's a useful input. Thanks for bringing it to our attention. Chris and I can make sure that if it's not directly with the CEO, it's certainly with staff. We'll start nagging to make sure. Firstly, the CC one is either published or circulated, and the more general ICANN one is attended to.
The other thing on that, of course, was that some journalists and indeed readers do not differentiate between G's and C's in quite the way that we do. So it was a kind of industry reputation, which obviously
that's true.
Is a big area. Okay, so I had Sabine, then Sokol, and there was somebody over here, Lise. Oh, and Peter. Sabine.
Yes, actually, I want to share an observation I made just during the talks we have just now, and there's that a lot of the what we have done when we drafted the CCNSO rules very carefully, that the scope of the CCNSO and the scope of what we are talking here, and I see sneaking in a lot of things just by wording. So it was Chris sharing with us that there is a WHOIS study from the new WHOIS service coming from the GTLD space, and that he think that might be an issue to deal with it, or we actually have to look on it. And I think we intentionally actually don't participate in that effort, because we know that we will end up in a complete different policy area. That's one. And the other is when Leslie asks for if there is an agreement about PDP, about registrant rights, I don't see any. Then we can start one. I don't see any base for that. To start one within the ICANN arena, and I would really ask to be much more carefully in really shaping very clear what ICANN and the things we are discussing here is about and what it's not about.
I think you misunderstood me, and let me be really clear. What I said was that this experts working group on next generation registry services is only in respect to GTLDs, and then I said, however, the CCNSO might wish to look at the output from that experts working group and talk about whether it has any consequences, whether they want to talk about it any further. I was not suggesting that there is any way, nor is there any way, that the output of this working group and a GNSO PDP could influence the CCNSO at all. And if you took that inference, then I'm sorry, I apologise, but that wasn't my intention, so let me be really clear about that. And in respect to registrants' rights, I did not say that the CCNSO should consider or could consider doing, well, it can do what it likes, but I didn't say that we should consider doing a PDP. I simply said, if we were to come, and I think Leslie said it as well, if we were to come to a decision that it was a good idea to look at some kind of best practice registrant rights thing as the CCNSO, the only way to do that would be a PDP.
So if I can just touch on your comment specifically with regard to next generation registry data services. One of the critical elements that we've been drumming on at board level is firstly, the GTLDs are not the only people who collect this data. That between the NROs and the CCTLDs, many of us have data privacy rules, which we have actually managed quite elegantly to work around, and we've designed specific solutions to cater for some of the tensions that the new that the GTLDs are struggling to cater for. And so we've suggested that at least the expert group look at other registry services and not just GTLD Whois. That being said, the outcome of that expert group is likely to be a set of best practices or a set of observations or a set of recommendations which will then inform a GNSO PDP. I think that the CCTLD would be remiss not to at least look at that report and see if there is not some benefit in it. Now, whether that motivates you to feel nauseous or whether that motivates you to start a CCPDP is entirely up to you. The reality is that most of us have been collecting Whois data on the basis of fields and forms designed 20 years ago in which we haven't bothered to update. And most of the time we don't necessarily know why we're still collecting some of that data, because its usefulness is long past. And I would suspect that in your Whois like ours, or possibly not in yours, but in the Whois of other people over here, there are a number of fields which are just left blank and which we don't mind. And the fields remain there because that's the form that we originally copied. But we're not getting any further. So I really like the fact that we're looking at first principles. What do we need to collect? Why are we collecting it? How do we store it? Who do we allow access to? I think the CCs can learn from that. Please don't feel threatened. If Christmas spoke, smack him, but don't feel threatened.
I don't think that's what Sabine was saying. And I think, can I just add to this conversation that one of the opportunities when we are out of the other end of the GTRD tunnel is the cross-community discussions about topics, of which this might be one.
Agreed.
Where we can bring CC experience and people can bring G experience on a common issue. We've missed those.
Absolutely, I agree. But just let me make one other observation, actually, because I'm on the EWG and I know what's going to happen in as far as logistics are concerned. I can pretty much guarantee you that the experts working group will reach out to the CCTLDs and say, please tell us what you do and why you do it the way you do it. Now, it's not going to reach out to every CCTLD. That would be ridiculous. But it will reach out and ask us to tell them. Because one of the things they're very clear about is that there's all these assumptions made in GTLD who is about the problems. And some of these problems have actually already been solved in the CC world.
Okay. I'm aware we're running out of time. Can I ask for some very crisp questions and for very crisp answers? Sokol.
Not related to the previous questions. In today's agenda, there was foreseen at 9 o'clock a session on ICANN's reputational survey results. And this was cancelled. Do you have any more information on this? Not why it was cancelled, but on the content.
I didn't even know it was a session.
It is on the agenda.
I understand, Sokol. Yes. I don't know. It implies that maybe there is a survey. Maybe it's not ready yet. I'll find out.
Good. Thanks.
Okay, Liz.
Hi, Lisa from .dk. I just have a short remark, and I'm glad you brought up the CEO roundtables yourself, because I've been one of the very critical about it, and I can support the model you described, Mike. I think it's a very good idea to bring that on to Fadi. But I don't know if I should be reassured or worried that there is nothing behind it, no hidden agenda, because then it's a lack of understanding of the multi-stakeholder model. But I hope that's...
Okay, Peter.
Thank you. One short comment and a question. The comment is that it might be a good suggestion that if there would be follow-up on the CCTLD study, that the CCNSO is somehow involved, or CCTLDs or volunteers, because quite a lot of our members have already done such studies and have a lot of experience on how to get good, well, not as in the terms of outcome, but relevant results. And then the question was, Mike, you mentioned something on the ethics question. understanding panel. I'm not familiar with that. Can you just elaborate on that?
The recommendation that's been made by the expert committee that reviewed other ethics policies to actually have a standing panel looking at, in particular, reconsiderations.
That's not an ethics panel, Mark. It's the that's the panel for dealing with complaints. If you have
reconsiderations and others,
yeah.
So it's, at the moment, it's being handled by the Board Governance Committee. So if you wanted to complain about me, then it would land up being Chris and others on the BGC who would land up looking at it. So the suggestion is that there's an external panel, and it should be a standing panel, preferably at no cost to ICANN. So they wouldn't be necessarily paid a retainer for being on the standing panel, but rather there would be a group of legal experts that could be called on to consider this. And this would be a way also of trying to avoid another triple X debacle and extensive legal costs by actually having people who develop some understanding of ICANN, our processes, who we are, what we do. So that is being put in place.
So that's for complaints more generally?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. We've run out of time, but thank you very much for joining us and for being so open and available for questions. Let me just thank everybody for the session, and we move to tea back at 11. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Leslie.
Thank you.
Hi. I just talked to her.
Yes.
Are you Gabby?
Yes.
Oh, you're Gabby. Okay. So long since I didn't recognize you. I got her on the internet, mm-hmm. Google Drive.
Yeah.
She's going to send me an email. I'm waiting for it now,
oh,
so
right,
I can
okay,
share
so
it with her.
Yeah. Because I want to put it on the meeting's laptop, that's why.
On the laptop
yeah,
over there?
Exactly, so you don't have to worry.
Well, I can go to any laptop at all.
I just know, so this is why I